Welcome back to the program. I've been waiting a while to say this. Welcome back. The Melbourne Footy Club are premiers for 2021, and I want to share it with you and your thoughts and what you remember from the game, who you thought were the best players, the most important players, any of the moments. Did Maxi kick that goal or didn't he? By jeez, it looked like he kicked it from where I was sitting.
Were you right behind it?
1-300-736-736-043-98-11-16.
The goal umpire went very early on that call.
I ran into the goal umpire post. Not
Did
him,
you?
I ran into his other mate up the other
Shirt
end.
Shirt front running or?
No. He was in the same lift and he said, oh, you know, it's a hard one. You know, some of those ones look like they're in and out. But we'll just say he was in the best position, shall we? Beck Danaher's going to join us. One of the great photos of all time when you just saw Neil Danaher in the front of his television screen. Bill Guest has been through. You talk about some of the hard times, the former vice president. Nick McCallum, your man. Sent his scarf over. I ran into someone that had Nick's scarf over here in Perth. So jump on, can you? I haven't had a great chance to talk through the games. A busy day yesterday. Do you want to start, Whispers?
Well, I just want to ask you questions because you've actually now spoken to everybody. You've sat down, you've spoken to the coaches about the game itself. When they lost grip on the game or appeared to lose grip on the game, certainly the momentum shifted in that second quarter, what were they thinking about the game at that stage? What did they think they needed to do?
I think clearance was important and Bontempelli was of great concern. So I think this has been reported. I don't want to talk out of school, but Maxi came off for a spell and then that kid, Luke Jackson, went in the middle and I thought he changed the direction of a grand final. At 19 years of age, I thought he changed the game. And to Max's credit, it was time to come back on and they said to him, you know, your rotation's ready. And he said, no. He's not going anywhere, that kid. Leave him there. So I thought he was the one. Anyway, just looking. I haven't watched the replay yet, So I'm going to have to go back and have a look at it. But him and Petrarca, I thought, just were unreal. And then Oliver, they kept talking about Oliver taking responsibility for the Bont. He looked like he was going to rip the game away from Melbourne supporters and he was spinning forward out of the stoppage. He was just sort of hitting harder, which caught him on the hop and caught Jack Viney with him a couple of times, which he's not going to compete with him. So Oliver's running defensively was something that they loved as well. So
when did they place Oliver to Bont? Was that in the second half?
Yeah.
After half time?
Yeah. They placed him, but they just said, look, when he spits out of those stoppages and pushes forward, you just got to run. You just got to go with him. You know, we can't get a mismatch with him down the other end. So I'll have to go and have a look at some of the stuff he did. But they're so heavy in their praise in that part of his job. The other really fascinating thing I thought was, and this has all come out too, I think, in the news, was about Stephen May's hamstring.
Yes. Tell us about that.
So, it turns out he had a really significant hamstring strain and they just didn't tell him.
So he strains his hamstring in that last game, that last final, and they don't actually tell him that he's... Because I remember the word came out of Melbourne, you know, they've done the MRI or whatever it is, they've scanned it, there's no tear there. But there actually was a 5-centimetre tear. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And Darren Burgess, who, you know, they just put such faith in. You know, they just put so much faith in him, and Darren was convinced that he'd be able to get through. You know, his experience told him, having looked at it, that in 2 weeks' time that they could get him through, so they didn't tell him.
So they don't tell him he's got a tear. What do they say to him? That there's no tear, you've just got some soreness there. And if you just put yourself in our hands, we'll 100%. Bring you along.
Yeah.
But when did they test him?
We'll test you late in the week.
Okay, they had to know at some stage that he was going to be able to stand up. When was that? When did they decide that he was going to be okay?
I don't know exactly, but it would be the middle of the week, middle to late in the week. It was it's amazing. Yeah, I'll tell you what else happens to him, and this is what struck me, right? And I'm part of this. I'm talking about me and you and others who are outside
the
camp. All the stuff that we think is important. That curfew story that come out. Oh, they're not going to. Can they play off, you know, one game in 28 days? Ross Lyon saying they're at a disadvantage because Simon Goodwin coaches on the. I sort of raised them and they just looked at me like I had three heads. Those things are just never taken into account. And we look at it and I do, you do. What about this? What about that? They were that confident that the one in 28 day thing was I don't think they even thought about it.
Were they worried, though, when the Bulldogs went up by 19 points in the third quarter? They must have been worried about the game getting away from them at that stage.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
What did they think changed the course of the game then?
Well, I think they've got the work in the middle. They got the work in the middle. I mean, they were getting smashed around clearance, the way I thought, anyway. Yep. And that's why I thought Luke Jackson was just as important as anyone in that whole game. I think he's 19. He doesn't turn 20 till next year. And he went into the middle and he just plays plays differently. Like, I spoke to his mum and dad post-game, you know, and I said, well, how about your son? And Luke's dad said, no, it's what he does, you know. He just sort of says, okay, I'll get after it. So
he's not overawed in any way, is he? So you go into the rooms after the game and there's that all that celebration, and then all the players go out onto the game post that.
Yep.
What just sort of take us inside that group out there on the ground and what's going on.
Esky's in the middle, pizza boxes around it, music, portable speaker, music going, James Harms dancing. He's still dancing a day later. Just the boys, as happy a group of people as I've seen. They were just happy, and the coaches were happy, and the trainers, you know, there's because the travelling party's been so tight. Right?
Yeah.
So Clint Stanaway, Johnny Stanaway's dad was there, and they pulled out something he said early in the year. He said, if we win the grand final, I'm going to go out all night with you blokes. And they replayed it, and they just went crazy and doused him with beer. And so all that sort of stuff, whispered, was I don't know. I could stay on here and talk about it forever, but we've got to get moving.
I know that. But I got one text late, very late. It was about 11:30. I didn't get it that night. I got it the next morning from Rob Waitman, who is Cody's father.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
He said a bet's a bet, and once you make a bet, you got to keep it. And he is paying for you to get the Max Gorn tattoo on one of your butts.
We're here for Kogan credit cards, no annual fees, amazing rewards, garage doors, redefined, 4ddoors.com.au. I don't think I bet.